Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Kohler vor dem Libero. Augenthaler agiert, der zweite Mann Guido Buchwald. Thomas Berthold auf der rechten Abwehrseite. Lothar Matthäus.
Achaias picking up pace midfield. Oh, well played again. Achaias' shot, that's fantastic. That's one of the best individual goals we're going to see in the World Cup, surely. Lothar Matthäus with his second of the match and West Germany's third.
Hey Ramblers, Andy here, and welcome to Ramble Meets Lothar Matthäus. Now, Lothar Matthäus means one thing to me, and that's the two goals in the San Siro for West Germany against Yugoslavia in the 1990 World Cup. Of course, that's only the tip of the iceberg. Firstly, because West Germany went on to win that World Cup. Secondly, because it was one of five World Cup finals he played in. He played in some Euros as well. We know he played for Bayern Munich, very famously, Borussia Mönchengladbach. He's coached teams in Austria, Israel, Brazil, Hungary. The list goes on and on and on. Anyway, nowadays he's a very colourful pundit who splits his time between Munich and Budapest, and he gave us a bit out of his very busy schedule to talk about Euros, which is something that he's very, very enthusiastic about, and delighted, as we all are, I suppose, to have fans back in Munich as well. But he also took time to talk about a bit of his career, his love of the Bundesliga as it is at the moment, which occupies a lot of his time. And also, he had a few kind words for an Englishman who's ripping it up in Germany at the moment. We really hope you enjoy it. This is Ramble Meets Lothar Matthäus.
Okay, well, thanks so much for joining us, Lothar. I really appreciate it. I guess we're going to have to start talking about the Euros, aren't we? Because it's something that's at the forefront of all of our minds. Firstly, what does it mean to you having fans back in Munich, because Bayern have had such an incredible season, but with an empty Allianz Arena, which doesn't quite seem right.
Oh, I think not only in Munich, all around the world, we miss the fans in the stadium, and I'm happy when we can start to have minimum a couple of thousand fans in the stadium. They make the atmosphere different, and not only for me when I'm watching a game on the television, especially for the players to feel they get support and have atmosphere in the stadium. And I think we was missing generally the fans in our stadium. But I am really thinking positive, and I'm sure a couple of months more and we will have, I will not say full stadium, but half full stadium, and step by step we will get the full stadium. And especially for the players, I'm very happy to have this atmosphere, what I was missing in the last 50 months.
And what effect do you think it will have on Munich as a city? I mean, it's such a football city, isn't it?
It's not only a football city, but we have Bayern Munich, and Bayern Munich is so special in the sport. And Bayern Munich is, I think, one of the best clubs in the last 50 years in Europe. Not only the best club in Germany, they make good advertising for Munich too, because many people come to Munich to watch Bayern Munich games from far away, from all around the world. And I'm very happy I was part of this club 12 years like a player, and still now I'm very close to the club like ambassador, and I'm very happy I have this good connection in the last 35 years.
Well, we know you for Germany as well, and all your 5 World Cups and the European Championships and all the rest of it. I mean, do you have a little bit of that feeling, like watching this generation of Germany players going in, of how you felt as a player?
I was full of all the time to German football. When I was a player, I was active on the field. Now I'm watching mostly on the television or from the studio. Sometimes I'm the same in the stadium. I follow a lot of games, not only in the first Bundesliga, it's the same in the second one. We had a very good and strong competition in the second division. I follow the third division. I know everything about the German football. I have time, and this is not only my job. This is my interest to follow the football. And I'm watching every week a lot of games, what is possible from my timetable. And it's very nice to follow the German football. Sure, we have up and downs, like in another countries too. With Bayern Munich, we have a club who is, what I told before, one of the best clubs in the world. But we have another clubs who are very interested, not only the big clubs, the big names, the same in the behind. We have clubs who play very well, like Union Berlin, like Freiburg. Small clubs maybe are not so famous in international football and for outside from Germany for fans, but we have really good teams here and good players, good young players, good foreigner players in our championship. And for this, the Bundesliga give me a lot of emotion, give me a lot of fun, and give me a lot of entertainment.
Well, we'll come back to the Bundesliga in a moment, because I know our listeners will want to hear your thoughts on that. But if we stick with the Euros for now, what are your thoughts on Germany's prospects going into this tournament? Because it feels like there's a lot of contenders, but clearly there's a moment of changeover with Jogi Löw, who's done an incredible job going, Hansi Flick coming in. Do you think they can give Jogi Löw a good send-off and a successful tournament?
I think this was a good move from Jogi Löw to tell 2 months ago, I finish after this tournament and give up my position, because it was not anymore this together like before between the team and Jogi Löw, and the same Jogi Löw's interviews was not so strong and not so clean like maybe 5 years, 6 years, 8 years ago. He made a great job for the German football, not only because he won 2014 the World Cup title with his team. Generally, when he was working from 2006 till 2018, I have to give him number one. He was working excellent. He was entertaining. training us. We was proud of our national team. And 2018 was coming something what I cannot explain what's happened, but it was something. And this was not only 2018. This was going till now. The team was not anymore walking so strong. This was not anymore this passion in the team. And they lost the same defense a little bit, because normally when Germany was playing till 2-3 years ago, it was always sold out the stadium, but the fans was not going anymore in the stadium. For me, was something new. The fans are not coming in the stadium and like to watch a national team, but because of the performance. It was not anymore this what we accept, to fight 90 minutes, to give their best in each game. You can lose. This is not the problem. But they didn't perform anymore like before. And for this, the fans was going a little bit away. And we don't have to make only good results. We have to bring the fans back in the stadium, to bring the fans back behind the German national team, and to have them to give me support, to give me a good feeling like a player. And I think the players feel it. And this is a lot of pressure to perform for a country, yeah, for a football country. And you didn't perform very well in the last 3 years, not only the tournament, 2018 is the same, the games after these tournaments. And Jogi Löw maybe was doing a mistake and take players out like Müller and Hummels and Boateng, and he bring them now back, and he correct his mistake maybe what he was planning 2 years ago, and now they're back. And I hope with them it's coming the same, a little bit more atmosphere in the team, more team spirit, more happiness. Yeah, this I was missing this a little bit in the last 2 years. This was we play football, but I miss this passion. Some player has it, but not all the players. And I think with Thomas Müller, we get now a leader back who can help the team not only on the field. He can help the team the same in the dressing room, and he has the experience. Maybe the young player can come to him, to Hummels too. And I think the mix is good for the tournament. For what I see on the list, for like a player. We have players who are playing in good clubs, in Bayern Munich, in Chelsea, in Man City, in Real Madrid. I think we have a good team, and I hope they will give their best and to make it better than in the last 3 years.
When you talk about the atmosphere around the German national team when it's coming into a tournament, it makes me think of when you won the 1990 World Cup, and you hear all the stories about where you stayed together, the German national team, and there seemed to be a wonderful atmosphere, a wonderful friendship, I suppose, between those players. Tell us a bit about what it was like, and did you have an idea from the early stages that something special was going on in 1990?
For us was very important. We had with Franz Beckenbauer, we had a leader. The coach was a leader. The coach was a hero, like a player, like a coach. And he know what we need, not only to be get instruction. He give us the same freedom and give us time to be ourselves. And I think this was important. And in the team was the same, a good team spirit. We had a good hierarchy in the team. Yeah, we had our leaders, we had our young players. And it was no big discussion, because we start in this is very important for each team to start in a tournament immediately in a good way. Then you have less discussion. And it's coming, the positive energy is the same from the media, from the fans. And I think this was 1990, the key to win the World Cup, because we was beginning very well with a great game against Yugoslavia. And immediately we get the same confidence with the result, with the performance. And I think this is so important for Germany now in this tournament, because they start with tough games against a world champion and then against a European champion, France and Portugal. And I think these two games will show Germany where they are going. I'm sure they will not go out in the group stage. But the same, with a good energy, with a good result, then you get a good atmosphere from outside, from the media, from the fans. And when you see this, this is pushing you, this make you stronger, this make you more happy. And this happiness, I think you can make results. When you make games like in Russia, then you start to think what we have to do better. Then you make yourself pressure and stress. And this is not the best way to win a title. And for this, I think the German team has good way from the beginning to play against the best teams. And with this result, when we cross this, I think Germany can win this and the European Championship title. I think they have this quality. When you see the goalkeeper, we have, I think, the best goalkeeper in the world. We have a midfield with Gündogan, who was one of the best players in the Premier League. Toni Kroos, who has experienced Real Madrid. Then you have Bayern Munich midfield with Kimmich, Goretzka and Müller. Then you have two players from Bayern Munich on the wing, Sané and Gnabry. Then you have Timo Werner, who is playing in the Champions League final tomorrow. Havertz is playing tomorrow in the Champions League final. Our problem is more the defender line. And this is a job from Jogi Löw to bring now the right players in the right position, in the right system together.
I don't know where these referees find the stoppage time from sometimes. I really don't. FIFA criticised the referee in the semi-final. He played 8 minutes over time at one point. And there it is! West Germany win the World Cup for the third time and equal the record of Italy and Brazil. They take the championship away from Argentina. And Franz Beckenbauer becomes the second man to play in and manage a World Cup winning team.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
and on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Bernie Katz was fun, he was kind. When he walked in, the room just lit up.
And there was something magical about this young man that just had a glint in his eye, that didn't give a shit about anything, but loved everything.
My first impressions were of a huge, vibrant and outgoing personality, all hugs, grins, extravagant language and wild attire.
Always in a leopard skin jacket, whirling around like a windmill. I know, she's a character. I don't know if those people exist anymore. They're sort of dying out. Everything's changed.
It is a bank holiday weekend in London, the late summer of 2017. The streets around Kentish Town, just north of the city and halfway towards Hampstead Heath, are unusually quiet. That evening, in a small, converted flat, just a 15-minute bus ride from King's Cross Station, Bernie Katz, pocket-sized and long-standing front-of-house manager of London's Groucho Club, is found dead by his landlord.
I said to him, what happened? You know, and he said, we are not talking about it. And yes, there have been the rumours. We've all heard. I mean, what did I hear specifically? That he was murdered.
His relationship with his father was so toxic. He hated the idea that his son was gay. His dad was a proper gangster. Bernie came down, there was a car far from. Guy blows his dad's head off.
They were all part of the same fetid, seething, self-referential nest of vipers that I think the Groucho had become.
Was Bernie depressive? I think yes. When alone, a condition he rarely sought, he had demons that flew about his head.
I get a call from Bernie and he is in £20,000 worth of debt with the Albanian gangsters in Soho. We all collected and paid the debt.
The way that the Albanians operate is very, very peculiar because they did not operate like any other mafia in Europe.
I've never been able to establish exactly what happened and why, but whatever it was so wrong.
Bernie, who killed the Prince of Soho? Listen now. A Stack production, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Of course, Müller will have that feeling of playing in his own garden again, being at the Allianz Arena for those games where he's been so successful this season. You touched on that Yugoslavia game in 1990. I guess you just come to the end of your second season at Inter. I mean, it was one of, I guess, the performances that everyone always remembers of yours when you scored those two goals against Yugoslavia in San Siro. What is that feeling coming out in your club stadium for a huge international match, do you think?
It's always a favour to play in your home stadium. This is the same for Germany. Now we have the group stage at home. We play three times in Munich against these teams, plus Hungary, Portugal and France. And I think this is always a good feeling when you play at home. This gives you security. I feel more comfortable here at home before I make now this interview from a restaurant or from another place.
Yeah.
This is my home place. I can drink here my water. Everything is easy. I know what I have to do. Yes, I don't have to ask nobody where's the water. And this is the same when you're in a stadium where you play every week or each second week. This is like this home feeling. And this home feeling is very comfortable for a player. How my home feeling was 1990 in Italy, in Milano, in the stadium. I was coming out. I know the stadium. I don't have to look, oh, how is the light? How, where are the fans? Or how I go out from the dressing room? Everything was a normal way for me. And yes, this give me good energy.
And of course, when you won the title in 89 with Inter, it was the first time for 9 years that they'd won the Scudetto. This time, it's the first time for 11 years that they've won the Scudetto this year under Antonio Conte before he left. Does that bring back some happy memories? And what does it mean to you that Inter won the title this year?
I think it's always nice, especially for the fans for Inter fans, it's especially something nice to be first ahead of AC Milan. And then you make this change now after 9 years, Juventus, to win the title. It's a great season. Inter played very well this season. I was full of many, many games, and they had a good team. This Conte was building a very good team on the field, and the same around him on the bench. You feel always a positive atmosphere when you was watching the games in the TV. And I think this is something what you need when you like to win titles. And he make a great job with his staff, with the players, and for this, they dominate the Serie A in this season.
What about one of your other old teams who people associate you with, of course, Bayern? They're moving on from Hansi Flick and Julian Nagelsmann's coming in. Tell us a bit about the job that Hansi Flick has done, because Bayern have not just been dominant, but the football has been amazing too.
For me too, and Hansi Flick is somebody. And I was playing with Hansi Flick 3 years together by Bayern Munich from 1985 till 1988. And we had always a good relationship. We was neighbor in Munich in this time. And from this, it's still today a private connection. And he's somebody who is working agribish, very in the smallest detail. He's working, he's going, and not only during the training session, he has a plan. He has a clean plan. And for this, I thought before Bayern Munich and Nagelsmann is something new, because Nagelsmann liked to play a different system. Hansi Flick was playing always 4-2-3-1. Müller close to Lewandowski. The defender has to go up on the line. The striker left and right, Sané or Coman and so weiter, has to come in. And Goretzka has to come from outside from the box. Müller was always with Lewandowski in the box. This was clean. Yeah, and Hansi Flick is a clean, simple thinking person. He don't make it complicated. He's not making Lewandowski on the left wing because he has some idea. No, he gives the player the best position, yes, and he's talking with the player. He don't like to make something, and he's privately the same. He is not, when he like a red wine, he's not testing another red wine because he liked this red wine, and then he drink again this red wine. For example, because sometimes I know he drink red wine, but he's not. He make no experimentations. Yeah? And he's. I like to tell you this. He's privately the same how he was like a coach. Clean, friendly talking. No, inside he's full with emotion. But sometimes he don't show this emotion. Not he's not like Pep Guardiola, not like Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. He's not running up and down on the line like Guardiola. He's running more than the players. Hansi Flick is really clean. He's looking and he is thinking. Clean and simple. And I think this makes the difference. And he has this conversation between him and the players. Everything on the same high. Nah? He's not here, I'm the coach, you are the player. He's on the same high like the players. Doesn't matter, it's a young player. It's the world best player Lewandowski or the world best goalkeeper Manuel Neuer. He is playing, he is talking on the same high with each player. Each player is important for him. Doesn't matter he score 40 goals or he play only 2 games in the season.
I mean, that's an impression you get from the Bayern players. I spoke to Alfonso Davies recently, mm-hmm. and he said that the human side of Hansi Flick was important. It seems that the players really connected with him. And it's something that Nagelsmann recognises, isn't it? He says 80% of the job is getting along with your players.
Yes, you are depend on your players, and then you have to make your players happy. This is different than 30, 40 years ago. The coach was going against you. He was going to the media and say, oh, Lothar Matthäus was not not playing well and he didn't score and he was not motivated or something like this. I listened to this many, many times from the coach, from the president. And it's different because the players are sensible. They get this, especially in this media moment now with social media, when some coach is telling something here, you can be under the shower and you will know what the coach is talking during the media conference. And it's different than in my time. And for this, the coach has to be part of the players. And when, he has to talk this, what Alfonso Davis was talking about Hansi Flick. And this was always Hansi Flick. Doesn't matter. Sure, he don't like to lose. And Bayern Munich lost games. But he was not different. He was, after the bad results, the same, nice with the player in a normal way. Sure, a little bit different talking, different reason, but from his personality, nothing changed after the losing game to talk with a player or after the winning game to talk with a player. And this is something what the player understand, because the player is the same, unhappy when they lose a game. But Hansi Flick was managing this very well, better than Niko Kovac before.
And I guess another guy who was previously assistant who stepped up was Edin Terzic, who had a difficult first couple of months at Borussia Dortmund, but in the end got them to winning the DFB Pokal and got them into the Champions League. Tell us a bit about the job that Terzic did at Dortmund.
First, he has nothing to lose because this was only a job for 6 months. And he make it good. And sure, you have to give each coach a little bit time, like you have to give Timo Werner or Kai Havertz the same time to find themselves in Chelsea. Yes, and Dortmund, no, he has quality. The players was very happy with him because of the communication. Mats Hummels told this many times in the interview after the game. Doesn't matter. He thought they lost the game. And then Mats Hummels told after this game, and surprised me, we will have a lot of fun and good results with this coach after losing game. And this showed the connection between the player and the coach. The players was believing him. The same after a losing game, you will not say nothing against the coach. The question was not about, but Mats Hummels thought, this game today, okay, we lost, but with this coach, we will find our way. And he was right.
And of course, we speak a lot about Erling Haaland and all the great things that he's done for Dortmund. But I think sometimes we, here in England, we underappreciate Jadon Sancho. We don't realise how good he is. Tell us a bit about the influence he's had on this season, and especially what a good end he had to the season in Dortmund.
Jadon Sancho is a special player for me. I saw him the first time playing. He played an under-17 tournament 4 or 5 years ago. And they had a game against Norway. And I was in the gym, in the fitness, and I was watching this game in Eurosport. And then I stopped the run because I was interested, who is this player with the number 11 or 7, what he was playing, left wing. He was playing on the left side. I thought this game 15 minutes. This was 2-0 very fast for England. And I was stopping my exercise, was calling my friend in Germany and say, hey, check who is this guy. He is something special. And 6 months later, Borussia Dortmund bought him for 7 million. And I surprised because his coach was Guardiola. How he can give him to leave for 7 million? This was a brilliant player. I saw him only one time. And then I was so happy Borussia Dortmund bought him. But I was surprised Man City gave him to go. This was a surprise for me. Okay, another story. What he was doing in the last year for Borussia Dortmund, for himself, for the same for the fans and for everybody. It's amazing how he was playing the last 2 months. This was the best of the best what I saw from Sancho. And he was playing very well. He was scoring goals. He was giving assists. But he performed in the last 2 months amazing. Not only the cup finals, the same the games in the Bundesliga. And he and Haaland, they make the difference to make this performance with the team to win the cup final and to qualify for the Champions League next year.
What is it about Dortmund and about German football that allows young players to flourish so quickly, I think? I mean, you know, we see not just them, but Florian Wirtz at Leverkusen. You talked about Havertz.
Yeah, because sure, it's the same of many reasons. We have a good academy and we have a good scouting. And for this, so many young players from outside, from Germany, come to Germany and start a great career. It's not only Sancho. We have a lot of French players. We have Austrian players. We have Swiss players. And I think maybe we don't have so much money like in the Premier League. We cannot invest so much money because of the TV rights. We get less money. And then we have to find another ways. And another way was in this way good for Germany because we get Sancho, because Manchester City was maybe believing player who has more experience and cost a little bit more. And then they had 5-6 players, like the same with Sané. Now they give him up because they have another players. And Guardiola is not a stupid coach. He's a very smart coach. He's one of the best coaches in the world. He sees the same. I have space or I don't have space. And Sancho, he was not believing, but he can give him up. But don't sell him. Keep him in under your contract for load him for 2 years. And this was surprising me. Sure, he has maybe better player in this time, in the same in this position. But I never give up a player like him. He was a diamond. He was brilliant with 17 years. And this I saw immediately. And when he performed in Dortmund, he was performing from the beginning amazing, like Bellingham too now.
There's a lot of teams struggling to catch up with Bayern in the Bundesliga. But breaking, I guess, the other great teams that there are. Borussia Mönchengladbach, one of your old teams, only finished eighth in the end because Union got past them on the final day. Tell us a bit about the story of Union and how incredible it is that they made it to Europe.
Union Berlin is very smart to buy players. Very smart scouting and very smart to do with low money a lot. Because they find always the right character for their team, for their spirit of the club, and it's a special club. And this is the same in Freiburg. Freiburg performs the same very well. When you see another clubs who have bigger name in Germany and has to play next year in the second division. And I think especially Union Berlin and Freiburg, they perform very well with this, what they can invest, because they have small budget, but they make great results. And this is what I like so much, when a team is not rich, but the performance is it's amazing and make me happy when I saw them, how they play football, with which confidence, with which happiness. And this is what can make the difference. And Union Berlin and Freiburg, both teams are not so famous, but they make me happy to be a Bundesliga fan.
Thanks so much for your time, Lothar.
Thank you very much. All the best for you, yes? And stay healthy and hear you soon.
This was a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.